welcome to North Valley Church's Sermon Podcast. We are in our sermon series, Riches of Grace. If you would like more information about our podcasts or North Valley Church, you can find us on our website, nvcmd.org. My name is Dan. I'm pastor here at North Valley Church. So we've gone through this season of COVID and mandates and things to try and do to control our health. And we've gone through a long season of wearing face masks. And for I know for some of us, there's like this mystery about face masks and how they work. So I heard an analogy today, or this week, that I wanted to share that might just help open up for you to understand the mystery of the face mask. So I'm going to ask a question. I need you to answer the question, but I need you to keep the answer to yourself. Just answer it for yourself. Oh, and by the way, full credit, I heard this story after hanging out for a little bit with Mike Landry. So if you got any questions about details, work out. He's going to offer, oh, I heard it from my supervisor. So he heard it from his supervisor at work. He shared it with me, and so now I'm sharing it with you. So my question, don't answer out loud, just to yourself. Do you wear underwear? See, if you said no, I don't want to know that, so keep the answers to yourself. Okay, now I have another question. When you fart, do you smell it? Think about it for a moment. That goes through two layers of insulation, right? But when we fart, we still smell it. Just a thought to leave you to ponder the mystery of the face mask. Just one person's point of view. Wow, is it too? I got a couple people laughing, but is it too early for body humor? Or. Okay, never too early. Yeah, okay. There are other mysteries that we struggle with. Maybe that's one for you. There are other mysteries, right? I used to like to hang out in astrophysics, something we take for granted every day, but it's a mystery, is that we're still on the floor, right? Gravity. Gravity happens. We wake up in the morning, we take for granted that we're going to walk and our feet are going to stay on the ground, the cars stay on the road. We have no idea how that works. We don't. When you get into the astrophysics, right, there's quantum mechanics would try and define it using this graviton particle, but the reality is, no, they don't. They have never discovered one of those. And so we have this mystery in our physical universe of we don't know how this works. One day we might, but right now there are mysteries that we don't know. It's a mystery till we understand it, right? When we understand it, oh, well, then that's not a mystery, and we tend to take it for granted. Electricity, right? There was a time when people understood that they would get shocked if you got hit with a bolt of lightning. That wasn't good. Today, we understand electricity. We understand atoms and molecules and electrons and how it moves from one place to another. We understand enough about electricity that we can manipulate it and do things with it. Make light bulbs, drill it down into little itty-bitty things and make computers work from. At one time, electricity was a mystery, but today it's not because we understand it. We have mysteries in our physical realm. You know what? There are spiritual mysteries as well, right? There are things about who God is that we're never going to understand. There are things about our relationship with Him that, for a while at least, we're not going to be put in a place to completely understand of it, right? One of the tensions that's in our relationship with God is our free will and God's sovereignty, Right? When you think about it, how can we run around to do everything that we think we want to do and God still accomplish all of what it is that he wants to do? And there's this tension, and lots of people get passionate about it. They fight about it. They kill each other over it. But and different people of us fall in different places on the number line. Do I lean into God's sovereignty, or do I lean a little bit more into free will? Do I fall somewhere in the middle? The reality is, whichever place on that number line you pick, there's a mystery. There's a piece of the puzzle that we don't get how it works. How can we have free will? The Bible talks about free will. How can God accomplish all his things that he wants to do in his will and us still be able to decide? But there's a tension. And how we deal with that tension, where we put it, there's still a mystery about it. We are continuing in our series on the book of Ephesians. We're in chapter 3, and Paul is just going to clearly communicate and talk about a mystery. So I want us to go back. We're going back in the time machine again. Right, 2,000 years ago, when Paul was walking the earth, when Jesus was around, and when Jesus showed up on the scene, there was this clear way that things worked. There was this clear way that things worked with the Israelites, the law that came from Moses, and the what manifested itself into the Jewish folks and how they lived. And for them, it was a clear delineation of, I'm a Jew, you're not. They put a lot of weight in their cultural and blood connections, being able to trace their lineage. When you're reading the Bible, right, some of us struggle with the Old Testament. I made it all the way to the book of Numbers, and then I lost my mind. I couldn't stand reading, and this guy begot this guy, this guy begot this guy. Why is that all in there? Because the Jews valued their blood connections to their history, that they could trace their history to Abraham. That was a big deal for them. But then something new came along. And that's what Paul is going to try and communicate, not only to the Jewish folks, but to the Gentiles. And Gentiles is just a word for not Jewish. Paul, if you were here last week, we did a sermon called The Death to Hostility. In the verses just previous to what we're going to read today, Paul had taken some time and explained to them that Jesus came so that he could put a death to hostility. That there shouldn't be a difference for the audience he was writing to. There shouldn't be a difference between being Jewish and being Gentile. The reason Jesus came and died on the cross is so that we could be united in those things. And today, those principles still apply for us, that when we are able to see somebody and particularly identify them as a brother and sister in Christ, we need to be able to put our arm around them. Whether we look like them, whether we disagree with them, whether we have different political, social, food tastes, point of view, right? Regardless of the differences, we need to be able to come alongside and in Christ be able to find common values and goals and ways to cooperate together and hopefully live together and have life. It doesn't mean we all need to look the same and think the same. No. But Jesus came to put a death to hostility. Paul is going to just talk about that same thought, but he's going to use the words the mystery. So let's pick it up in Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, so when you see the words for this reason, right, you can think, oh, that was the sermon that was last week. Paul just got done talking about death to hostility. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administrations of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. So just a couple things to highlight there, right? Paul refers to himself as a prisoner for Christ. When Paul's writing this letter to the Ephesians, he is in prison in Rome. So when he says the word, I'm a prisoner for Christ, it's a very real, practical, physical moment. He's writing it from inside his confined places and being chained. And he says, I'm here because of who I am in Christ. I'm here serving Christ's purpose in some way. And Paul saw that as God, Christ, wanting him to be in that moment. He talks about God's grace that was given to him. Right? Paul was called by God to do this very thing. There was something special and unique set aside about who Paul was, how God equipped him, what his history was, his experiences, that put him in a place to do the thing that Jesus wanted him to do. To be able to be this champion for the Gentiles, to be able to plant churches throughout lower Europe and Asia. Paul was uniquely called to do those things. We can't all be like Paul, but you know what? We've all been called in some way. The Holy Spirit's given each of us some sort of gift, some sort of role, and we've got some responsibility to know what that role is so that we can step into it and play our part in Christ's church. So as we're talking today, be thinking, I see what the special place that God's called Paul, but he's got a special place for me too. And it's important for me to take the time. Sometimes it takes time for discovery. Take the time to know what that is. But Paul is introducing here in these couple of verses, there is a mystery. He's admitting there was a mystery going on until now, and he's been given the administration of this mystery. Continuing on in verse 4. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in their generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. A sermon or two back, we recognize that Paul saw what was going on as a clear movement of God, and that there were people set aside that Paul refers to as apostles and prophets, that this mystery had been revealed to them in a way so that they would be able to communicate it to other people. And that there was something new about this. Look at the way he says this. It was not made known to generations in the past. So hang out there for a moment. That in the Old Testament, they didn't know all the things that was going to come around in the New Testament when Christmas is coming up, right? We will be talking about how the Old Testament looked forward and there were prophecies in the Old Testament talking about Christ. Even being born in Bethlehem, it's hilarious to me when I'm reading Matthew chapter 2, wise men show up, hey, we're looking for the Messiah, where's he going to be born? And they tell them, they know. They say, oh yeah, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. They knew, but they didn't care. They weren't interested in looking for it. That's just one of the funny parts of Christmas for me. Lots of things we know that we can look back on, that even in that moment, the Jews were looking forward to and seeing, oh, there's going to be a Messiah. Some really cool, great things are going to come of that Messiah. It's kind of hard to find the church in the Old Testament. There's a mystery there. The church fulfills some things that God says about being a light for the Gentiles. But you know what? That God is going to lift all the blessings that were given to the Jews and spread them to anybody who puts their faith in the Messiah, Jew and Gentile, and that they would receive the same blessing that the nation of Israel had received? That was a little vague. The Jews didn't see that coming. They knew that the Gentiles would be involved in what was going on, but this kind of role that the church was going to have, that is a bit of a mystery. And even for the Jews living in that moment, it had to be a little bit of a, oh my gosh, what happened? What's going on? And yeah, it's going to take them some time to make that transition, that adjustment. Paul is specifically writing to that audience. in verse 6. The mystery is, okay, here we go. If you're a note taker, for us sitting in this room, ain't no more mystery. He's going to tell us exactly what it is. The mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ. He is talking about the church. He is talking about this idea that the church and how the church is going to receive all these blessings, right? He's been talking to us for two chapters about the blessings in Christ. And that now it is no longer exclusively the realm of the Jews. That the Gentiles are going to be able to share in that. Paul is letting them know, yeah, you guys are right. This is shocking news. This is shocking news. But you know what? These folks are going to be included. I should be this way, keeping my metaphors right. These folks are going to be included into what it is that we're doing. And I want us to be that mindful of, you know what, when we talk about people who are also believers in Christ, man, we need to be open and accepting. There are people who are followers of Christ who don't do it completely like we do, right? Yesterday I got to officiate a funeral for a lady. She's 50 years old. She had passed away of cancer, right? So I knew the lady. I knew what she was like. I knew that she was a follower of Christ. I knew that she had a relationship with Jesus. Part of the setup for the funeral room was they had brought little pictures, right? So you got a bunch of the traditional 5x7 pictures, and they put them on poster boards. So they were poster boards like 24x18, and they had six of these things, and they were scattered throughout, and there were pictures on tables, six of these poster boards scattered throughout the room, and she had been cremated, so she was in a little box. One of the places that they put the poster boards was standing next to me, so at this height, I'm here on my podium, one of these poster boards is sitting here next to me. Picture, 5x7 picture, on the poster board is a picture of a sign that says, F cancer. It didn't have just a letter. Hello, word, right? There's a coloring book, an adult coloring book, where you're signing in, oh, I'm here to help grieve for the loss of Mary Hooks with the family. While you're signing the book, the coloring book is sitting right there next to you. The title of the coloring book, F Cancer. For not all of us, I can see your faces. We might not all do that at our funeral, would we? Some of us are going, yeah, that's not a bad idea. Okay, so y'all weirded me out a little bit on that, okay. But I am... For Dan, right? Passionate feelings require passionate language. I don't weird out when people use bad words. And so I got to preach the gospel standing next to a F cancer sign. You know what? She's a brother, she's a sister in Christ. And you know what? There was a room full of people who didn't know who Jesus was. And I had the opportunity to say, you know what, I'm not weirded out by that. Let me tell you about the grace that I know about who Jesus is. Man, grace makes the difference. If we're in a place where we're struggling about how do I interact with these people with different mindsets, ideologies, political leanings, social mindsets, we have to lean into God. We have to lean into God and receive His grace. Remember the grace that He's given us. Fill ourselves with that so that we can interact with people, because for some of us, it's hard. There are things that we interact with that are difficult, right? It's not always easy. But if we don't lean into grace, It'll never happen. It'll never happen in the way Jesus designed it. It'll never happen in the way God called us. Paul is making clear the reason he's even able to do this is through God's grace. He's not a superpower. One of the things that he's going to say here in a minute is that he's the least of these, that he knows he doesn't deserve this grace. But because of the grace that God's given him, he can indeed meet anybody where they are. And I'm saying that we have to do that for our brothers and sisters in Christ. The result is, when I get doing it well inside my church, guess what? I now know how to do it outside my church. And that whoever I meet, wherever they are, whatever they look like, whatever they're saying to me, I can find the grace, because I know where it comes from, to be able to interact with them and have that death to hostility, to provide that unity that Christ came and died for. Paul continues, I became a servant of the gospel by the gift of God's grace given to me by the working of his power. Very thing I'm talking about. We are the church. I mean, we've got power. We've got the power of the living God living and working inside of us. He didn't just give us a bunch of blessings. He also sent the Holy Spirit to live inside of us. Not just individually, but corporately. When we get together, that Holy Spirit power is manifested even greater. Where we can step outside of ourselves. Where we can step outside of who we are, identity as a church, and be able to reach communities and people groups that we might not be able to do on our own. Because I'm living and working and breathing in the power of Christ. And I'm doing it completely out of God's grace. We didn't earn any of this. We haven't done anything special. Here's my thing, right? God's doing amazingly cool stuff at North Valley Church. My job, show up, right? That's, you know, I don't have any special skill sets. I don't even know anything about ministering to kids, special needs. I'm a reasonable guitar player, but I know I'm not a worship leader. There's lots of things I can't do. There are things I can do. My job is to show up. God will get me into the places doing the things that he wants me to do. Paul continues about God's grace. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given to me. Here it was. Here's the two things that Paul clearly saw why he had this grace. To preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which is that the Gentiles and Jews and everybody get to hang out and be in Jesus, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. There's our two things. Man, preach the gospel, and he talks about his administration of the mystery. I'm going to challenge us. Paul's not here. Who's in charge of the gospel now? If you're sitting here, raise your hand. I want everybody to raise their hand. You are in charge of administrating the gospel. It's our responsibility to keep it going. It's our responsibility to make sure that the folks here are equipped. Right? At North Valley, we're still doing healthy church thing. But as we grow, right, we're only 2 years into, what's today? 14. 3 more days will officially be 2 years old. Woo-hoo! Yeah. So we've still got some healthy things I want to work on, but then we'll be working towards what does empowering people with the grace and truth of Jesus Christ look like. And we're going to learn and talk more about healing and equipping and commissioning people, so that they can fulfill their part in the administration of this gospel. We have a purpose to be able to share this with the world, to preach it. We have a responsibility to make sure we're doing it well, which includes building people up and helping them find their roles inside the church and outside the church to do that very thing. His intent was that now that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly realms. According to the eternal purposes that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Think about that for a moment. We're being watched. The world is watching us, yeah. But you know what? Heaven's watching us too. Rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. People hanging out in heaven, angels, are watching us. They're interested in how this works. They're interested in how we are making that happen. Side note, both the good angels and the not good angels are watching what's going on. For our colloquial words, angels and demons get to see what we're doing. And they want to know. They want to know the genius. Look, his intent was that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God would be made known. The reason God did this through his church, through us, oh my gosh, he entrusted salvation to us. That's nuts. He did it anyway. That was his intent. So that not only to the rest of the world, but to folks in heaven, that they would know about the genius of God, the wisdom of God, and how it's demonstrated in the gospel. That Jesus doesn't have to, God doesn't have to control and manipulate and tell people what to do as far as a relationship with him. That he has sent his son to die on a cross, and that he lovingly draws us into a relationship. Right? That we are all in this place where we're separated from God by our sins. Heaven knows that. We're all in that place. And that he set up this system in the Old Testament to teach us and communicate us the gravity of our sin and how it separates us from God and how the only resolution to heal that relationship is death. In the Old Testament, they were sacrificing animals. But then God sent his son to be the sacrifice that lasted for all time. We're 2,000 years this side of it. We're going, woo, yeah, that's great. Right? In heaven, they went, you got to be kidding me. That was genius. That he's able to save the world through his sacrifice of his son. And that he doesn't have to manipulate, control, cajole people. He just demonstrates his love for us to draw us into a relationship with him. That was the mystery that got revealed. That is what has the attention of angels in heaven. That somehow God is now empowering these people who have been drawn to him by his loving sacrifice to be able to do in his will, to live out and be the people that he's designed us to be, to fulfill our roles for the church, to continue to draw more people, to communicate this love, so that they would be drawn into a relationship with you. How nuts is that? That's the opportunity we have. See, we're on this side of it 2,000 years later, and we know that Jesus lived on this earth for 30-some years and then died on the cross to pay the price for our sins, to be that death, that sacrifice. Cooler yet, when he rose 3 days later, he demonstrated he has that kind of power and authority. He has power and authority over sin and death. And that when we put our faith and trust in him, accept his forgiveness and his leadership in our life, we are transformed forever, starting today. We get to experience that transformation. We get to live in this mystery, this power, to be transformed individually, but not just for our own sake, but part of a purpose. God's intent to glorify himself on earth and in heaven. And as we follow and do those things, that is what is going on. That's what's happening. If you've never crossed that line before, if you've never thought about what does a relationship with Jesus Christ look like, what would it be like to stand in that place, to have that kind of power, to have this mystery so clear that I begin to see more clearly who I am, who God designed me to be, to see this more clear so that I know I've got a purpose. He's given me something special that I can do, that only I can do, and I can do it really well. And when I get plugged in, man, I feel more fulfilled than I do doing anything else. And when you're in that spot that God designed you to be in, doing the thing God wanted you to do, there's nothing that feels like that in the whole world. It's kind of weird. Counseling is one of those places for me. When I'm doing that with people, that is, I think, where God wants me to be. But you know what? I've got this thing for funerals. Doing funerals, man, there's nothing that sets the church apart more than a funeral. Because we've got hope. We've got the power of Christ. We've got heaven. And when I got to talk about Mary Hooks and her relationship and that she is now having the greatest time of her life, man, that's powerful. That's a moment that sets us apart from the rest of the world. 1 Thessalonians says, we don't need to grieve like the rest of the world because we don't do it without hope. And that's the kind of difference this makes. If you've never done that before, man, let's not leave it for another day. Let's take care of it today. I would love to talk to you after the service. I got kids training we need to do, so my time will be maybe a little crunched, but I would love to talk to you. If you don't think you can hang out and talk with me today, man, reach out to me. You can always send an email to info@nvcmd.org. If you have questions or concerns about the fart joke, info@nvcmd.org. And I'll get to that as quickly as I can. Yeah, poor guy wouldn't even know it's coming. He wasn't here to hear it. Okay, focus. That was funny. Continuing in verse 12, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, do not be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. And there it is. With our relationship, when we move into this place that I have a relationship with who Jesus is, who it is that he is, and the clarity of who I am in need of a Savior. I blow it all the time. I need a way for my sins to be forgiven so that I can continue my relationship with God, so I can healthily have a healthy relationships with other folks. And it's in him and through faith that I can now approach the throne of God with, I love these words, freedom and confidence. And there's no fear of God. I know he loves me. Even when I blow it, I know that he loves me. We sang a song, Fear is a Liar. That is not, should not be part of your relationship with God. We can approach it with freedom and confidence, not because of us being good people, not a fan of the term good people. Jesus said there were no things, such thing as good people. What we are is a bunch of broken, fallen people who are relying on a Savior who's paid our debt. And because of that, I can approach the throne of God with freedom and confidence. Paul ends this little passage with, and don't be discouraged because of my sufferings. Man, we get mixed up being the church. When we first become followers of Christ, we're like, ooh, yeah, things are great, rock and roll, woo, right? And then we start to realize, you know, a year or two into it, well, this can be hard work sometimes. And sometimes we get started, sometimes people lead us to believe, and I'm telling you, it ain't true. Sometimes we get these weird glasses put on. It's like, oh, once I become a follower of Jesus, everything will just turn out okay. Nope. Nope, it don't turn out that way. right? We would like to think, I'll just live a completely blessed life. No, we're all going to have struggles. We're all going to meet challenges. We're all going to fail. We're all going to die. Unless Jesus comes back. That would be cool. Yeah, give me a woohoo. Yeah. But the odds are it's going to be hard. So I don't want you to think that this is just a rose-colored glasses, everything's beautiful. Paul is in prison sharing these truths with the Ephesian church. And don't expect it to be easy. But I'm telling you, when we're faithful, knowing who we are, doing the thing God called us to do, there's nothing like what feels like being in that moment, being in the place that God designed us to be. I would like to ask the band to come back up. And while they are, I want to challenge us for a moment. We got to hang out here this morning. We started out talking about a mystery. Paul made it clear it was a mystery. But now that we're on this side, it's not a mystery anymore. We know who Jesus is. We know that he wants unity in the church. And we know that we have a role in that. But it's still a mystery to some. The folks who aren't here, the rest of the world, it is a mystery. It's our job to help take the truth and reveal this mystery so that it's not a mystery to them anymore. We've got a role to play in that. Where are you at in helping make that happen? Maybe today is just a day where you affirm your relationship with Jesus Christ. You know who he is and that he is your Savior and that you know you need him. Maybe you've never done that before today. Let's make today the day. But even if you have, you can still affirm, I know who Jesus is. This isn't a mystery to me. I know he saved me and I know he saved lots of people who aren't exactly like me, but he loves all of us. Maybe you're in a place today where you need to discover who you are. You're special, right? You're special enough that Jesus decided to die on the cross for you. You were worth it. Find out what that looks like. If you're not sure how special you are, man, invest some time in that. Reach out to me, and I can walk with you through. We can do personality, gift tests, and whatever. Sometimes just a conversation, sometimes trying things out. But man, we kind of have a role of knowing and discovering who it is that God made us to be. And then, so that we can be engaged. There's a role of faithfulness involved in the grace that God's given us. The grace that God gives us and equips us and empowers us and heals us with, it's not meant to be hoarded unto ourselves. It's meant to be shared. How has God wired you to uniquely share that with the world? What's your piece of that puzzle? Are we faithfully following through that today? Would you pray with me? Dear Father in heaven, man, thank you for Paul. Thank you that we're living in this age, that we can see, yeah, at some time for those folks, this was a mystery. But for us, it's not. We've heard the mystery. Even if we don't accept who Jesus is, the truth is, it's no longer a mystery how this works. We now own it and we're responsible for it. For those of us who get it and have accepted Christ, man, help us be able to have a heart and a desire to share it with the world. There are so many people who this really is still a mystery. Help us find our place, how you've wired us to be able to do that. And help us find and to be living in the power that you've given us to be able to play our part to share the mystery of who Jesus is with the rest of the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You're welcome.